You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to The Real Short Box. My name is Kevin.
And I'm Donald.
Today, we're briefly going to discuss...
porn!
No. We must be respectful in this pod.
Oh, shit.
Recently, we had the passing of one of the legendary comic book artists.
Ah, yes.
You know, he is on the Mount Rushmore of comic book artists.
He is the statue of Lip... Wait, no, that wouldn't work, would it?
No, that wouldn't work. But he's up there with Jack Kirby. I mean, Steve Ditko.
Yes, Stephen J. Ditko.
Passed away on June 29th at the age of 90.
90 years old.
Yes, sir, 90 years old.
Aged like a fine wine.
Yes, he did.
That hid in a cellar.
And we have to have great respect for this man because he lived life the way he wanted to. He didn't try to be a superstar like our good friend who we love as well, Stan Lee.
Yeah.
You know, he just wanted to live a quiet life. He was very similar to, she also passed away a couple years ago, the lady who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, Harper Lee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, very much someone who just kind of just...
I was going to say HarperCollins.
That's the book publisher.
Yeah.
But, you know, someone who wanted to live a quiet life, didn't care about the fame that, you know, that their name had, you know, this one, their work to basically speak for itself. And so that's very rare these days. You know, a lot of people love to absorb fame and bask in the glory and the spotlight. But this guy, you know, he said, you know what? I don't care about that. My work speaks for itself, and that's all that matters.
He's, like, notorious for people. I remember somebody's that I read, they'd sent a letter, and they were like, they sent it to Steve. They found his address, and they sent it to him. They're like, hey, Steve, please, you know, just respond back. I want to hear from you, and, you know, I just want to let you know how instrumental you are, you know, were in my life, and blah, blah, blah. And they got a letter back from Steve Ditko, and they were all excited, and they opened it, and I think it read something like, there is nothing in this letter to respond to, you know, well wishes Steve Ditko or whatever like that. So he was very,
he was known for that.
Straightforward. Yeah. Didn't beat around the bush, so to speak.
Yes.
Definitely didn't beat around the bush master.
No,
because
not at all.
Season of Luke Cage is...
Be patient.
Okay. I'm trying.
Now the end of it, unfortunately, isn't as satisfying, but the middle parts are pretty good.
Well,
be patient.
So anyway, Ditko was born in the 20s.
Yes, 1927?
Yeah, 1927. So that means he was a teenager, what, in the 40s?
Yes.
So that's crazy. You imagine growing up being a teenager and all your hormones are raging and there's a world fucking war going on around you?
Absolutely.
Isn't that insane?
I know Pearl Harbor was a very traumatic event during that time period.
Yes.
You know, similar to 9/11 during our lifetime. So, yes, many young men would have been traumatized, but also some of them were emboldened to join the military.
Yeah.
And serve the country.
Yep. Now, Ditko, he was actually, he was spurred to be an artist, specifically for, like, comics and stuff, when he was introduced to Batman. That would be in the, you know, in the 40s, of course. And then The Spirit, which was... the tabloid-sized, it was like a comic book insert in the Sunday Funnies, like in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. So that kind of is what bit him, the bug bit him to want to draw and become an artist, was seeing these characters come to life, be created. So it's fascinating that you see, when you see a legend like Steve Ditko be inspired by other legends.
Makes
sense. From, you know, 20 years prior, you know what I mean? Because Ditko, let's be honest, he didn't hit his stride until the 60s.
Yes.
When the big one hit, Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man.
Absolutely.
And then he kept moving on, and I think he was notorious for his artwork, and what was the other one? It was...
he did Doctor Strange.
Yes, Doctor Strange. And that one really resonated with college kids in the 60s and 70s, I believe.
And also, notoriously, he didn't wasn't a fan of the hippie movement.
Mm-mm. Which is funny because they loved his work.
They loved his artwork. It's because they took it the wrong way. It's like, oh man, he's into what we're into, and he's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, this is just what I think this world is.
Yeah,
for Doctor Strange, I'm not dropping acid, you dummies.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, sorry to interrupt, everyone. Just wanted to mention real quick about a shop in Canoga Park, California called Spiro's Heroes. Elliot, the proprietor of the store, has over 300,000 books in what's called the Temple of Comics. That's Spiro Heroes in Canoga Park. Spiro'sHeroes.com.
So that was a, that, you know, he was a...
He's a follower of Ayn Rand. You know,
right.
Believe in objectivism.
That's right. That's another thing. He was an interesting character.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody ever has really gotten a solid bead on him as far as who he was, the essence of Steve Ditko.
Yeah, because he was, just to say, he was a very private man.
He's a recluse.
Yeah, recluse. Very much private. I mean, you had access to him, of course, if you went to his New York City studio. You know, you could meet with him once in a while. You know, he may talk with you briefly and whatnot, but you just can't take pictures or record. You know,
no.
he was there. So, remember, did you ever see that documentary? I think it was a BBC documentary about a decade ago where a guy, I think it was called Searching for Steve Ditko.
Yes.
It was very interesting. And, you know, he actually got to finally meet him.
Mm-hmm.
But
he wasn't allowed to bring a camera.
Exactly.
In.
No cameras, no recording, nothing. You know, no photos. You know, and it was cool. You know, he signed some, you know, whatever. The, you know, not Marvel stuff, of course, but,
hey, of course.
You know, more of his more independent stuff, and gave it to him.
Yeah. That's kind of an interesting thing. Where if it was Stan Lee, for example, Stan would be like, why don't you have a camera? You know?
Right, right.
It would be totally different.
And that might be a reason why they broke up, essentially, the relationship, because they're two completely separate personalities.
Oh, absolutely. Night and day.
You know, and it, you know, it happens. You know, collaborations don't last forever. There's always issues that come up. But thankfully, for at least 38 issues of The Amazing Spider-Man, they were able to work together.
Yeah, that was a pretty good run. And after that, and Doctor Strange, he left.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a lot of work for, I believe, for Atlas Comics, which was the precursor to Marvel in the
50s. Yes,
so he did, like, some horror stuff and things like that.
Yes, him and Kirby, when Kirby came back. You know, those two, as we know, we talked about in a previous pod, how instrumental they were into basically saving the company.
Yeah. So when he left Marvel, then he went to DC, and he went to Charlton. Now, Charlton Comics, they are, I don't know if you know this, Kevin, but I do a web series called The Blue Beetle, Ted Kord Returns.
I have heard of it.
Okay, so it has to do with Ted Kord. Ted Kord is a creation of Steve Ditko.
Yes, that.
So Steve Ditko's passing is very, very sad for me, very tragic.
I know, it's very personal.
Because he's, you know, the character's near and dear to my heart, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the ideals that he put into the character is important to me, anyway. So he created the Blue Beetle, Ted Kord, which came to be after Dan Garrett. He created then The Question, which is probably the most famous, well, one of the most famous comic book detectives of all times.
Who would later be kind of reimagined as Rorschach.
Yes.
In The Watchmen.
Yes, absolutely. That, well, I mean, that's how The Watchmen came to be.
Right.
The Creeper, if you remember The Creeper, he did that character for DC Comics. That was a really cool idea, that, you know, this kind of an insane character like that.
Also Shade the Changing Man, right?
Yep, and Hawk and Dove. And Hawk and Dove, that didn't last long for him because he saw things completely different than the you know, his the guy he was working with on the book. Can't remember who it was now, but there was a difference of opinion, and he left, and then the book did not last long after that.
And then I remember he self-published, you know, not self-published, but he worked for a small independent publishers where he created another character called Mr. A.
Oh yeah, that was a hero that reflected the influence of Ayn Rand's philosophy, right? Of objectivism.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, he was an interesting guy. He was definitely a workhorse. I have a bunch of books of his, like, just horror stuff from Charlton Comics. And it's interesting because he's such a dynamic artist. I would put him... I would say he was a love child between Kirby and Starlin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as, like...
The style. You know what? I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah, he had that, you know, and like the space stuff, you know, he had the...
Now, by you saying really that, Jim Starlin had to have been influenced by him.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he was. And, you know, there's many artists, I'm sure, that were influenced by Ditko. But just saying, like, it was kind of a mashup between the two. It always felt like, to me,
Because, you know, Starlin was working when I was, you know, a young kid. Mm-hmm. So seeing his stuff, you know, you don't know who's what age when you're reading their books or you're looking at their art. You don't know how old this person is versus that person. And especially when you're a kid, if you get a book from the 60s versus a book from, you know, the 90s, the art's kind of night and day, but you're not thinking, well, this person's probably much older now than this other person.
Right.
You don't think that.
No, you don't.
So Ditko never, to me, he just never aged. He always seemed to be the same damn age. And to hear that he was 90 years old was just kind of crazy, you know, to just like, wow.
You know, it's quite interesting and a blessing that a lot of these artists and writers from the Golden Age and from the Silver Age have actually lived a pretty long life, because Joe Simon was also in his 90s. He was 98 years old.
Wow. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, didn't you get something signed by him?
Yes, I did, a Captain America book.
Which Captain America book?
It was Captain America 25, the Death of Captain America. You see, like the glove hand laid out.
One of those covers. The Brubaker one?
Yeah, Brubaker.
Oh, okay. That's a nice cover.
Now, yeah, if you're thinking Captain America 25 from, like, 1942, yeah, that'd be nice to have. No, not yet.
Indeed it would, sir. You'd be like, I'm out of here. I quit.
I'd buy a house. But one thing we cannot emphasize, and we somewhat mentioned, but we got to emphasize this, because Stan Lee, as much as we love him, gets too much credit. Steve Ditko is very instrumental in the creation of Spider-Man, you know, a property, a character, a beloved superhero. Oh, yeah.
When he left Marvel, he created Spider-Man again, basically, by creating Ted Kord.
That's true.
Ted Kord was a beetle character, the Blue Beetle.
An insect.
Yeah, he had no powers, unlike, you know, like Spider-Man, of course, but he had that funny, kind of quirky
inventive
response. You know, he was sassy.
And inventive.
Yeah, he was very inventive, very clever.
The only difference is he was actually had money, unlike Peter.
Right, yeah, that's true. I always said that Ted Kord was kind of like if you took Peter Parker and Bruce Wayne and you slapped them together, you'd have a perfect Ted Kord. I still think that's Ted Kord.
Hence, that's why you like him so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Batman. I love Spider-Man. So those two work very well in my mind. So Ted Kord's my man.
Well, let me ask you, though, we're hitting on this. What do you think is his ultimately his legacy going forward? Obviously, the young kids who may not understand who he is need to be told.
I think his legacy is going to be Spider-Man. I don't... As much as I hear Steve Ditko's name branded about, I don't hear much about the Charlton work, and I don't hear much about
Blue Beetle.
Yeah, Blue Beetle so much. And I don't hear a lot, to be honest, about Doctor Strange. I hear most about Spider-Man. So I think him being an instrumental part of the creation of Spider-Man, you know, there's a lot to be said with what they argued about, who created what aspect of him and stuff. But I think artistically speaking, we wouldn't have some of the things that Spider-Man was known for.
Especially the early Spider-Man. He set up that teenage angst.
Yeah.
Especially in the art.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, Peter Parker is a very unique character.
Extremely unique.
Didn't have mentorship.
No. No, he didn't. He was angry too a lot.
Yes.
You know, there was a lot of anger in his
blame.
Heart.
You know, he felt blame. Himself, yeah. You know, he's blamed himself for what happened to Uncle Ben.
Right. So it was interesting to see that in comic book form. I always thought when I was a kid, I preferred DC over Marvel. And I know I've said this before, because Marvel was very wordy.
Yes.
They like to explain everything, where DC would just do it. And there's something to be said for connecting with people through explanation and through action of, like, just showing art, you know, and you being able to tell and see the pain in someone's face or something, right. You know, of a drawing
especially
that you
especially the covers.
Yes. Ditko had some awesome covers. Just some amazing covers. And guys, his Charlton run on any of those books, really, except for, like, of course, the Captain Adam stuff, because he did work that for Charlton, which is where he created Ted Kord. Actually, Blue Beetle books. Those are all that stuff skyrocketing. It's really hard to get those books now. So, but there's a lot of Charlton work that he did that is still very much obtainable. And even like Shade the Changing Man,
is still a very cheap book to get. I think it's like $25-$30.
And the Creeper.
Book. Creeper, yes, $50, $60-$70, something like that.
And if you're a comic book historian type guy, you know, someone who appreciates classic art, definitely pick up some of these books.
Yeah, Creeper had the best covers of any run that I can remember in recent memory. The Creeper covers were just awesome. I mean, just like, there's so much going on in those, and it just tells such a great story. I can't get enough of it. So I highly recommend that if you can get the Creeper run from DC, that you do that. Shaded Changing Man from DC, or just any of his monster books or his like horror type stuff that Ditko did for Atlas or for primarily for Charlton then after that. I think it's well worth the investment just to have a little piece of that history.
Absolutely.
Very good books. A very talented man.
And he'll be missed. Sorely missed.
Very, 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 very missed. So is there anything you want to say, Kevin, before we sign off on this little memorial?
Simple, you know, thank you, Mr. Ditko, and may God rest your soul.
I think one thing I want to mention before we go is... Ditko once refused an award.
Which one?
He said that it was I think it was the International Inkpot Award that he won, and he returned it. He said that awards bleed the artist and make us compete against each other. They are the most horrible things in the world. So the fact that he thought awards bleed the artist and make them compete against each other, I think says a lot.
About his character.
Character and what he thought.
And when you think about that, he does make a very good point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was create, and don't worry what other people are doing.
Right.
Worry about yourself.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that's something we all need to take away from with his passing. And I think that's one thing that he would be happy.
Yeah, lack of ego.
If we walked away with. Know that you should always be humble. And, you know, lack of ego, and that you should always work towards personal growth and development.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I can appreciate that.
Mr. Ditko, I hope that we honor you in continuing to try and grow and develop in this podcast as we move forward into hopefully the triple digits here down the line, which is not too far off, to be honest.
No,
we're getting there.
Yeah, patience and hard work and determination, we'll get it done.
Yes. So thanks, everybody, for listening.
We appreciate you. Please continue to subscribe for those who haven't. We have plenty of material on the on other podcasts. We have the History of Marvel, History of Malibu, History of Valiant, a lot of Superhero Smackdowns.
Yeah, a lot of Superhero Smackdowns. iTunes, please find us on there. We do a lot of Instagram posts and stuff, so if you can follow us, that would be awesome. But if you can't do that, maybe sometime, you know, when you're out and about, we'll see you
at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.